Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors. 4th Street is Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Talk basketball here in just a few moments. By the way, they have unveiled the logo for next year's Indy 500.
The 100th running of said 500.
That's why it's such a big deal. You're going to have to get yourself a hat.
Oh, I will. There's no doubt about that. I will.
And when you go to the official IndyCar website, over and over and over, you can get tickets. What?
Was that there a big announcement about 3:30 today, by the way? The unveiling of the logo? They had mentioned that they had an announcement that they were going to be doing later today, and I didn't know if that was the logo.
Well, they announced the date. It's going to be, what, May 29th next year?
Well, it's not like it moves.
I'm just saying they announced the date. Because based on ticket sales this year, you may want to know next year what it is.
Just stop.
It's not sold out.
It's like $108. Even the expensive tickets are sold. It's the lower price tickets that aren't sold. So they're selling their prime seats. That's what you want to sell. You don't really worry about the lower end seats as much, the ones next to the track and that. If you sell those, great. You want to sell the ones that have the high value. Now, that being said, if you sell out, that's a win. But it's not like they're losing on the Indianapolis 500 because they're selling those high-end tickets.
They have a TV package.
Which also gives some flow to them as well.
It gives them more flow than tickets do. Every TV package does. All right. Let's get to it. The Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament is going to be next week. It'll take place here at the Penn State Golf Courses. It's one of the top 10 fundraisers for Coaches versus Cancer in the country. We bring in the head coach of the Nittany Lions, Patrick Chambers. Patrick, welcome. I know you're excited about next week.
You know, we just took the torch from what Bruce and Ed and Jerry had started. And Steve Greer and now Al and Kent. I mean, these and the volunteers, everybody and the sponsors, of course, have done such a great job of making this an elite event, the can't miss event of the year. And for us to raise awareness and funds is critical. Because obviously, you know, cancer has touched all of us. You know, I don't run across anybody who it hasn't affected in some sort of way. For me, my brother, last year around this time, lost his life to cancer. And we have two people in our family now, in our Penn State basketball family, that are battling as we speak. And Kathy Drysdale in the marketing department and Mitch Stover, our equipment manager.
Yeah.
And as you watch those two go through it, it's an inspiration. I admire them, how they're handling it. But it just makes you want to fight that much harder to make next week's event the biggest and the best it can be.
Absolutely. And it's a first-class event start to finish, which is one of the prerequisites for you being involved in it. All right. Some news and notes for you. The Basketball Rules Committee has gone over the first hurdle, and then there'll be one more step to take next month to make rules permanent. Shot clock, arc, reducing a timeout in the second half for coaches, 10-second rule, 5-second closely guarded. combination of timeout with immediate timeout if it's within 30 seconds of the mark. What are your thoughts on all of those rules?
Wow, Steve. Let's just dive into 30 seconds.
You wanted 24.
I did, and you knew that. Yep. We talked about that on our radio show together. I thought 24 because NBA is 24, internationally it's 24. Why not make it across the board and make it more uniform? Although, you know, everybody's like, well, how's it going to help the game? It's going to be poor shooting. It's going to be this. The speed of the game is going to be faster. There's going to be possessions. How many more possessions? You know, who knows at this point? It could be 10, it could be 12, it could be 15. I haven't done the analytics on it yet or seen any analytics on it yet. But obviously the game's going to pick up a little bit. The timeout, I get it. Too many stoppages. For our team, I think we needed that timeout. However, I understand you want to keep the flow of the game at a better pace, keep it moving along.
Can I ask you, though, about the part where the coach can't call the timeout? How concerning is that to you?
It is concerning, but, you know, we're going to have some seniors out there, hopefully, who will be smart enough to call their own timeout.
Right.
And you know what? Things that we're going to have to work in practice.
Yeah.
I can't call the timeout. You're going to have to get this done in this situation. Do a little bit more basketball one-on-one on situations that you might want to call a timeout, during the course of a game because I'm not permitted to do it. I think the arc.
Right.
You know, they're looking for less collisions. They're looking, you know, maybe minimize the block charge. I think that's going to help us. I think that helps the offense more. I don't think we took as many charges as we normally do in my prior years.
Not even close.
I think because we've developed into a great shot blocking team with Jordan Dickerson, Donovan Jack, and Brandon Taylor.
Yep.
I mean, what do we have that one game against Nebraska?
Yeah, 16.
I mean, 16. So I don't think that's going to affect us completely, but hopefully it helps us when we're driving to the basket.
A 5 second closely guarded. I never liked it, Patrick, to be frank with you, because I thought there's a shot clock. I don't need to watch a guy count and then take the count off and then restart the count. So it's one less thing to me for the official to do.
I think that helps the officials more than anything. We don't extend out anyway.
Right.
And I don't think any coach wants their point guard to pound the ball 27 times. So, I think it helps the officials. I think teams are still going to pressure the ball because you want to distract and disrupt their offense and get them out of rhythm to maybe create deflections and turnovers. I don't think it's a major deal there.
Okay, and then the official can go and check shot clock like the Nigel Hayes play in the national championship game. They couldn't check it in that game. They'll be able to check it any time now. Your thoughts on that?
Whatever we can do, again, to get it right, I think we need to do in that situation. We should throw out the rule book and say, look, this is a critical point. We need to do this. I think it's all for the better of the game. And if we do it at a timeout or obviously under 2 minutes, you can look at the deflections. And now this, I think you got to do it. I think it can only help the outcome. So you're getting it correct.
What is your process for getting another assistant on the staff at this stage?
We're getting closer. Hopefully have it done before the Coaches versus Cancer outing next week. But it's a process. Put together a committee, received, right, you know, in the world of 150 text calls or applications in some sort of manner. Committee got together, we broke it down, and did some interviewing, some conference calls. So we're nearing the end, which is great because it's been a busy time for me with recruiting and just being away on the caravan, which has been awesome. I'll get into that in a little bit. But we're getting near that answer here shortly, and that announcement should come next week.
I can't talk about recruiting you can't talk about recruiting. We both fall under rules. But in general terms, do you like the direction that you're headed in recruiting in the current cycle?
Let me just talk 2015 real quick.
I was going to get to Josh in a moment. Yeah, go ahead.
2015, and, you know, it's such a great – I mean, the top 30 class and the so-called, you know, history. I know Eddie had Taylor and those guys. That was a great class, too. You know, and Josh is already here. That shows you a lot about that kid.
That tells me a lot.
I mean, who does that? Graduate on Saturday, come right to college on Sunday. There's a kid who said, I'm going to make an impact. I want to start lifting like a Big Ten basketball player. And you know what? I want you to, you know, I'm going to force you to play me. That's what he basically just said.
Right.
And the structure and the habits to develop in the classroom. I think it's a really shows you a lot about the kid's maturity. So I'm fired up about him. And then the next cycle, really good term, Steve. I like it. Let's go with it. I think we're making great strides in really highly populated areas of where great basketball is, in the inner cities of Philly and the DMV. I think we can say that. So great start, good jump start to that class. And we just got to keep this momentum going because I feel like we got a hot hand right now. We got to keep it going.
And in that area of feeling like you have a hot hand right now, when you've gone in the caravan, as you brought up, have you sensed that people understand that maybe you've started to get a hot hand?
Steve, you and I spend a great amount of time together.
Yes, we do.
We really do. We do.
I know.
And it's unlike any other head coach, radio analyst, if I can use that term. It's just different. We spend a lot of time talking.
I agree with that, yes.
Just being out there, the fans and the alums and the students that have come out to the caravan have been incredible. The support has been incredible. The buzz, if I can use that, has been better than it's ever been in my 4 years.
Right.
I mean, it's been like going around. I've done more, you know, pictures and autographs. I mean, I know that sounds silly.
And media.
But it's,
and media, too. You've done
the media
more.
Has been incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a whole different feel. They're excited. They're fired up. They're pumped up. If I hear one more, can't wait for the season. Meanwhile, I'm thinking football is in 15 weeks, and you're talking about you can't wait for my season.
Right.
I don't think I've ever heard of that. So everybody's jacked up. They're excited about the recruiting that's going on. Really love the way we finished the season. Got a couple why nots. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad I jumped on board with James. And I mean, think about the lineup that we had: James and Russ and Kale.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the caddy. I was caddy, and I was double bagging for those guys. But it was just a great to be a part of it.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, it's interesting when I talk to other play-by-play guys. I say, you know, what's it like? I said, well, it's a little different with the two of us. It always has been. So. And I've always appreciated that very much. One final question that will be about coaches versus cancer next week. The passion that has been thrown in by the committee to make this a first-class event because you need that kind of event to tackle something this big, how important has that been?
The committee of Al and Kent and all the volunteers are critical. They're everything. They're the foundation, right? I'm just the guy out front, and I have to call the captains, and they just throw things my way and ask me if I want to do this. But they're the ones who are working throughout the year, because this isn't just three months out, hey, let's put this together. This is a year-long process of volunteering their time. Because obviously they have been affected by this disease in a great way. And this is their way to honor their loved ones or somebody who's battling it as we speak. So the committee, I'm indebted to them. They've done it all. I appreciate what they do. And the sponsors. We can't forget about the sponsors and how generous that they've been over the years to help us make this a first-class event.
Patrick, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Can't wait to see you next week.
Looking forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Patrick Chambers, head basketball coach, Nittany Lions. Kevin's complete thorough analysis of the interview in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
May is a full month of special days. Memorial Day, Mother's Day, Cinco de Mayo, and of course, Hyundai!
Hyundai!
And Sunbury Motors Hyundai deals are on fire. Sonata starting at $19,790 or take advantage of 0% for 75 months. Hyundai Genesis discounted over $11,000. Hyundai Elantra starting at $16,989. The year's best selection of Santa Fe and Santa Fe Sport all-wheel drives in stock with rates as low as 1.9%. Take over $6,000 off in-stock 2015 Sonata hybrids. Check us out at sunburymotors.com. America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Great fuel mileage. Think Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Cutting-edge technology and safety. Think Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Pressure and gimmick-free buying with the lowest prices. Think Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Plus tax and tax financing with approved credit and all buyers will qualify. See direct believe.
Please come to Boston for the springtime. I'm staying here with some friends and they've got lots of room.
Yeah, that's because everybody left for the Olympics. All right.
That's not why I played it. Come on, you have to say it.
Sure, I'll say it. IndyCar is going to draw 17, maybe 18 people to the streets of Boston to watch. 2016, they're going to go IndyCar of Boston. I'm sure the people on Labor Day weekend are just going to be enthralled to have the streets of Boston closed.
It'll be a Labor Day weekend show through 2020.
Wow. Wow. I'm not so sure about that.
Yep, the agreement extends until 2020 for the Grand Prix of Boston, an 11-turn, 2.25-mile temporary street circuit around the Convention and Exhibition Center in the Seaport District.
Yeah, that'd be the Heinz Convention Center. I think it's Heinz is spelled H-Y-N-E-S or something like that, I think. It's right near the Prudential Center. I mean, to me, if they want to make it really exciting, I think they ought to take it through the North End. That'd be great. All the streets designed by Paul Revere and Samuel Adams. you could barely get around there to begin with. I think it'd be great. Yeah, look, we're going to go by the North Church at 20 miles an hour.
It's a nice long stretch on D Street between turns 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. And then a sharp right onto Cypher Street. And mm-hmm. turn 11 is another sharp right back to the start-finish line.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I've driven them all.
I just love it that it's coming. That it's coming to a place that you said doesn't want anything.
It's not a question of not wanting anything. They have what they want. Hey, the Red Sox are a passionate summertime obsession for fans across New England. The Patriots have done what they've done in the fall for a long period of time. Celtics, I think, actually have kind of put themselves back in the consciousness of Boston fans up there because of the job Brad Stevens has done. And the Bruins, of course, have won the Stanley Cup in the last 5 years, and they always have a stream of fans. You know, the extras that happen up there are the Boston Marathon, which is huge, some other road racing, sailing, which they love because they love their outdoor sports, recreational sports. They don't do a lot of... the Olympic thing... The big problem I have with the Olympics is simple. Is twofold. A, we're in an era now where you've got to lock down a city to do this because of security. And number two, and this is as big as number one, the traffic it creates. People don't want... You already have a massive traffic problem in Boston to begin with. Now you're gonna add this? Really? That's why they're going to vote no. People are going to go, it's already taking me an hour and a half, hour 45 to get to work. Now we're going to do this for 3 weeks? Really?
I took you to Pocono. Maybe you need to take me to Boston.
No. I don't think so. I'm busy that weekend. I've got a game.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors here, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. One more day for Kevin to drive this great vehicle.
The 2015 Ford Taurus SEL Series with leather interior. The 8-inch screen that is a touchscreen that has the backup camera already put into it. You get a nice big camera when you have it in the reverse mode. Of course, sensors as well to help you from not hitting something behind you. Even though you're looking at it through the screen, why you'd hit it, I don't know. But the sensors are there to make sure you don't get too close if you do things the old-fashioned way. You'll also find a 3.5-liter V6 engine. And if you get the show edition, that has a EcoBoost V6 3.5. You can also find the Taurus in a 2.0 EcoBoost 4-cylinder engine. As I said, rear-view camera, MyKey, cruise control. We'll also be able to have the easy access capless fuel filler, which has the little vacuum inside. Not a vacuum like you'd clean the floor with, but a vacuum seal that actually helps. So when you pull the filler, I can't think of the name of it, the handle out of the gas pump, when you pull it out of the car, it won't drip all over you or the car because it's actually taking everything out of it. So you won't have any drips or anything later. Just an interesting little feature in the 2015 Ford Taurus SEL from Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. You'll find the Kia dealership, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And if you'd like to see more about how you can get $7,000 off this vehicle with rebates and incentives, we'll find out the details of the vehicle from my Facebook page or at Kevin Herr on Twitter.
Great car, great deal.
What do they call that thing? I can't think of it. The handle of the gas pump?
The nozzle?
Nozzle. Thank you. That's the word that was not coming into my head. Right.
I'm glad I could be of service.
Thank you for helping. That was nice.
What? You're blaming me?
No, I'm not. I was just struggling with the word nozzle. I don't know why that wasn't coming to mind.
Heck you.
I'm here struggling and you can't help.
That's my fault? Gotta be careful around you. You get, awfully touchy over words. I'm over here just sitting in restless silence.
Did the Phillies score?
I don't know. Have they scored?
I didn't get, oh, yeah, they did score, but then they gave up three more.
Well, that's not a good combination.
No, it's 3-1 Colorado, top four right now. Houston and Detroit. Go ahead.
Remember what I said? Madison Bumgarner's a good hitter and Kershaw's not?
Uh-huh.
It's a 1-0 lead for San Francisco over the Dodgers. Bumgarner homered.
No way.
Yep.
That's the best. Detroit and Houston tied at 5, top of 11.
Yeah, bottom of the fifth, they're back playing again in Baltimore. The Orioles lead Seattle 4-3. Colorado leads the Phillies 3-1, top of the fourth. Giants over the Dodgers 1-0 in the top of the fourth. Bumgarner is homered. He usually wins when they go head-to-head. And tonight, Stanley Cup playoffs, Anaheim is at the United Center to take on the Blackhawks. And they'll drop the puck at 8 this evening at the United Center in Chicago, 8 Eastern time. And
7 Central.
Yes. That series tied at 1 apiece. Golden State at home tonight. Game 2 against Houston. Warriors won the opener. Did you see, very quickly, Steph Curry brought his daughter to the press conference, and I believe it was Brian Windhorst. I guess, was the one that complained about athletes bringing their children to press conferences. Now, this isn't something that we run into. I mean, I do know, for example, James Franklin brings his daughters to the post-game press conference, which is the only time I've ever seen that happen here. I mean, you know, Joe had his grandchildren around him when he won his 400th. You know, but that's a special moment. I mean, that's, you know, his family sharing in a great moment. But what did you think about? There was really very little usable sound out of it because she really stole the show, as most children do. I mean, last night, for example, David Letterman did an entire segment on segments he's done over the years with children. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. Although the New York Post had a column today saying that Letterman went 15 years too long. Oh.
Well, the show went 20 minutes too long because I missed it on the DVR at the end.
No, that's why I watched it live. And they were talking about what should they do with these things? Should athletes and coaches be allowed to bring their children with them to post-game press conferences? And I don't care. I don't care what they do.
I mean, what if it's bring your daughter to work day?
Well, I mean, but this has become a debate. And I don't see it as an issue. I don't see it as an issue at all. I could care less if kids are at press conferences and things like that when it comes to something like that. It doesn't really matter. I could understand, for example, I'll give you an example where I'll understand it. If it is a late game and you're working for a conventional newspaper or a conventional TV station where you need to get it done because you're on deadline, or on TV, you need to get it done, you need some clean audio. All right, I do understand that point of view, but one of the huge changes in our industry, especially in the newspaper industry, a huge change has been that the web has no deadline. The web also has really no standard on number of words. Used to be that you'd have, you know, look, hey, you have X amount of words, X amount of column inches, that's what you have, and you have a midnight deadline. You got to get it in or else it won't make the paper. Well, in our .com world, you don't have a deadline. And there's no prohibition on words. I don't think it's a big deal, and I don't think it's bad showing him as a family man. I think it's a dumb debate. And not only that, but for those on deadline, the game started at 6 o'clock Pacific time. What deadline? It was the earliest starting weeknight home game all season in Oakland. What's the big deal? I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's an overblown issue. And by the way, there's no sympathy for the media.
mean, really, we're, you know, is that a sympathetic issue? Oh, the poor media can't do its job? The media is not liked, for the most part, as a general base. And it's odd to say that when you consider, for example, Kevin and I would be media members. People seem to like us. Well, all look at the guests that we have. We have Rich Scarcella. If there's a person on the planet that says a negative thing about Rich, he's an awesome guy. Frank Badani's an awesome guy. Nate Bauer, Mark Brennan, you know, Neil Riddell. I mean, you know, on and on we go. Donnie Collins, we have Donnie on a lot. Mark Wogan, Rich, we have on a lot. And I apologize if I'm missing people, just trying to name some people off the top of my head here. You know, Jeff Rice. Dave, you know, I mean, we've had Dave Jones on, we've had Corey Geiger. I mean, you know, to some of their readers, it might be a little more polarizing, but they've been great with us. But it's funny when you mention the media in general, you know, even though you point out specific people that are highly thought of by so many people, you know, all the guys we've had on from Pittsburgh, Tony DeFazio, everybody. But if you bring up the media in general, you will get no sympathy from the public at large whatsoever. In fact, one of the worst things I think media people do is when they complain about something that's so difficult in their job. Nobody has any sympathy for it at all. For example, have you ever heard me complain about anything dealing with my job? Kev, have you ever heard me once complain about anything dealing with my job?
No, not even. And I'm the one that always says, "Dear, how do you deal with the travel and then get up in the morning?"
Right. Whatever. It's just part of it. It's no big deal. My goodness. I mean, I'd much rather have that than not have it. I mean, we're lucky. We get to work in sports. You know how many people want to trade jobs? I would love to get a job in sports. Look, you're driving in the car right now. Hey, you're on 80, you're on 147, you're on 11 and 15, whatever. Okay, wherever you may be listening. You're on a back road. You're at Turbotville, whatever. Okay, quick show of hands. How many of you would actually love to have a job in sports? All right, now put your hand back on the wheel. Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people would love to. And you don't think people would want to sit in the chair I have the privilege of sitting in? You have to be kidding me.
I want to sit in
number
that chair.
A lot of people want to. That's why if you sit there and go, "Oh, you should see how tough my job." That job isn't tough. Yeah, there's some aspects of it that are, you have to work at it. Nothing worthwhile ever comes easy, right? And so, for example, I'll tell you what I did today. You know what I did today? I was working. I have already finished all 12 pre-preps of each football game. They're done. I'm not doing basketball. The pre-prep I do every year. Research, checking out, career highs, double-figure games, 20-point games. After I already went through what's your career high in rushing, receiving, longest run, longest reception, how many career interceptions, right? Taking out guys that have graduated, moving guys up that are probably going to be in the starting spots, in a depth chart. Right? It takes work to do it. But that, if you have any desire, if you really want to be your best, you work. You have a work ethic. You work. Right? Well, guess what? It's still fun work. Still fun work. Believe me, there's nothing about this job that isn't fun. And a lot of people like to trade places. That's why when the media comes, there's a little girl up there with Steph Curry. It's his daughter. It's just wrecked my entire media experience.
Nobody cares. Just write the story. Nothing to complain about. Nothing. All right, we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Heading into a big weekend, which is racing's biggest weekend. With a lot going on tonight, Warriors, as fun a basketball team as you're going to watch, they get up and down the floor, and they understand the modern game. They shoot threes, and they do it. They will play Houston tonight, game two. Warriors won the opener. Blackhawks, Ducks play tonight, game three, series tied at one. And that's what's coming up tonight. The Phillies are already playing down 3-1. Pirates are really struggling. Joe Mauer beat them with a home run of the 13th last night. And the struggle continues after Andrew McCutchen tied the game in the 8th inning with a home run.
Sunday at our house. Go ahead.
No,
I was going to say, you were talking about Sunday, obviously being the biggest day in racing, with Monaco in the morning, followed by the 500, and then the Coca-Cola 600. The tradition is beer and bologna day. Not for everybody in the house, obviously, but only those of age. Not for the bologna. It was something my dad started when we watched the 500 together, so it's something we kind of continued. See, you were ready to make fun of it until I said my dad started it as a tradition, and then you're like, oh, I can't make fun of it now.
Colorado leads the Phillies 3-1 top of the fifth. Orioles lead Seattle 4-3 top of the sixth. Giants lead the Dodgers 2-0 in the bottom of the fourth. Madison Bumgarner is homered. D-backs beat the Marlins 7-6. James McCann hit a walk-off home run as the Tigers won over Houston 6-5 and 11. Mets beat the Cardinals 5-0. Angels at Toronto, Milwaukee at Atlanta, Oakland at Tampa Bay, Cleveland on the south side against the White Sox, Cubbies at the Padres.
Here you go. Topic for tomorrow. What one event do you have that you watch, sporting event, and what favorite food do you have to have for it? Maybe it's guacamole, wings, beer and bologna. I know what your answer will be, Steve. Nothing.
What a great idea.